All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to our Bible study. We're grateful to be back here one more time here to come bring forth the word of God. I hope everybody's had an awesome day today. Here in New York, it's snowing today, and today's February 28th. You're watching this broadcast. The reason why I bring up the date is because we're going to cover Proverbs 28 today. And so we're thankful today for his goodness and all he's doing, even in the snow. We're thankful to God for his blessings today. I hope and praise that everybody again. Come join us. Come on in and share the videos out. Hit the thumbs up. Hit the share button. Share it to your Facebook page, your YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on it. Get some more folks in here as we prepare to bring forth the word of God. We continue to say that we want to continue to build up the catalog for the Proverbs. We have various playlists and we have various places you can go on the YouTube channel for various categories of series of messages and series of Bible studies. And so this is building up our Proverbs a series, I guess you would say. And so tend to what we do is, as many may not know, we tend to take the date of the day, and being the 28th day, and then we apply it to the chapter. And so today we want to cover chapter 28 of Proverbs. I have an old slogan: the proverb a day keeps the devil at bay. What does the devil at bay mean? It means that, again, he's pushed away. You keep him, he's going to roam and do his normal duties. But you know what? You keep him at bay. You're able to combat him with the word of God, combat life, combat the things that go on in life with these proverbs. And so it's a blessing, truly a blessing to be able to bring forth God's word one more time. Amen. Here today, I want to remind you again, our Thursday night service as well. Be the will of the Lord. We'll be back at 7:30, 334 Ashford Street. Come on out, join us. 334 Ashford Street. Bring a friend, bring a loved one to the house of the Lord this Thursday evening with us as we look forward to what God's going to do. I want to get God to draw your attention here today to a few verses of scripture from the word of God. Proverbs chapter 28. All right, we're going to get into it. The Bible tells us here, it's written by the man Solomon. And he gave us a lot of different advice and various things that he was able to do. So you're going to get me a little closer. All right. Various things he was able to share. He prayed for wisdom. And really, God was able to give him wisdom and grant him wisdom because, again, of his prayer. And so I want to draw that to your attention this evening, tonight. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Verse 1. He said, but the righteous are bold as lions. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lions. You know what? Again, as a believer, God instructs us to be bold as lions, to be bold as lions, and really to be men and women of God, to be men and women for God and for the kingdom of God, and really to be not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of the gospel. So the scripture says the righteous shall be bold as lions. And the world is sin is not, people are not afraid to boast and be bold about sin. We need to be bold about the kingdom of God. But the wicked flee, but no man pursue him. And so naturally, again, even just wickedness in general, people really don't want to hear about God. They don't want to express God, especially when they are desiring to be in sin. They desire to not serve a living God. So they flee. They flee and say, you know, I don't have time for that. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to come to church. On and on and on. And so the wicked flee when no man pursue them. But we must continue to pursue. We must continue to invite and call and reach out to loved ones and friends and encourage them. Encourage them not to be ashamed. Say, hey, it's time to get saved. It's time to give your life over to Christ. Amen. Because, again, the things that come after one dies. The Bible talks about in verse 2, the transgression of the land. Well, of a land, many are princes thereof, but by a man's of understanding, the knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So wisdom will keep a land. Wisdom will bless the land through knowledge, and it helps you make wise choices. Again, you go back and read Proverbs. It's always talking about wisdom and dealing with wisdom, making sound decisions, sound choices in our lives. And so we want to use knowledge, again, through understanding from the word of God. You pray, God, give me understanding, give me the know-how and to do things. And naturally, God will bless that. When we seek God and seek his principles and seek his discretion, just mean use just God's discretion and various things. It will cause things to go well in your life. And so let's look at some more here. Verse 3, the Bible says the poor, a poor man oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain, which leaveth no food. Think about it. The poor oppressing the poor. The poor oppressing the poor. You think about that in general. One man doesn't have much, and then he's fighting another man who don't have much. And you see it all the time, again, where, again, people don't stick together. People don't stay together. So, again, it's a vicious cycle. Stealing from one another. Poor neighborhood stealing from one another. It's a vicious cycle. And the poor neighborhood is a vicious cycle where, again, a poor country is fighting one another. On and on and on, you see how people who don't have or lack thereof, and they continue to, in that same little circle, fight one another and then fight with one another. And so the poor man oppresses the poor. It's like a sweeping rain. It's a torrential rain. And it's really a vicious cycle of never, ever, ever being able to get ahead. Never, ever, ever being able to reach again out and be blessed, really because of fighting one another. And it goes on to so, we're going to come back to that in a minute. It goes on to so many impoverished nations the same way. The Bible says, they that forsake the law praise the wicked. He said, but such as keep the law contend with them. And so they that forsake the law, forsaking the law, forsaking the word of God, they praise the wicked. We like back to what we said. We don't want God. We don't want church. We don't want the preaching. We don't want the Bible. And so naturally, they praise what? They praise sin. We want sin. We want to glorify sin. We want to indulge in it. And so in our world, in our nation, when it's promoted, and naturally, the things of God is pushed to the back corner. Things of God is despised and rejected. And so what is glamorized? Sin. Filth and wickedness is all around. So the Bible says here, when the law is forsaken, when the laws of God is forsaken, and the wicked are praised, the wicked are praised. Let's go a little further. Verse 5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. So the contrast and comparing. Again, a lot of times Proverbs, it goes back and forth. We share with you. They go back and forth, comparing, contrasting about the pros and cons of not living for God, pros and cons of serving God. And so we look at it how the evil men understand not judgment because we fail to see God's face, fail to look to the Lord for our God, fail to look to the Lord for decision making, on and on and on. We don't really understand and cannot make sound choices in our world. And so the Bible says, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. God gives the believer and those that are walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, gives us enlightenment, understanding, eyes are open to see various things that the Bible says the men that are lost, or women that are lost, he says there's a blind ear over their eyes and they can't quite see, can't even see that they're lost, can't even see that they're bound. Really can't see the end thereof, or really wrap their mind around eternal life and really what it's all about. And so, again, the enemy will cause us not to make sound decisions when we are caught up in him because of the blinders. Now, verse 6, he says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And so think about it. We share many times, if you have very little, do not fret. Do not fret. You continue to pray and seek God's face, God to provide and meet the needs. Do your part, God to meet the needs. But if you don't gain in this world, again, continue to walk uprightly. Don't sell your soul out for a dollar. Don't sell your soul out for money. Don't sell your soul out for wickedness. You know what? Again, it's better to have a little and be upright before the Lord. It's better to have the small, because your reward, as we shared with you tonight, is in heaven. The reward is in heaven. It's going to be worth it all, my friend. And so you think about it, it's better to walk in uprightness with integrity and with a pure conscience. And then you can sleep at night. Amen. And to go and know that you've robbed a bank, you robbed someone, or you've stolen, or you got an ill gain, on and on and on. He says, he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. And so don't let riches fool you. God didn't say nothing's wrong with having riches, because God wants to bless. God will bless. Again, but many do it in the opposite direction. Or if you have, do you remember God in it all? Remember to give thanks. Remember to give back to God. Remember to praise God anyhow. He says, God, riches will fly away. Scripture tells, he says, riches will fly. He says, don't tie yourself to that because they come and they go. The economy can crash. Things can change in a moment of time. But you know what? God will never change tonight. Amen. And so the Bible says, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son. Number seven, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of righteous men shameth his father. So again, you think about it. I was sharing with someone not too long ago how your parents stay up all night wondering. Again, if you come home, if you're going to come home in one piece, if you're coming home in one piece that night, your teenagers or your children or whoever it may be, are you worried about them if they're going to make it home that night or what are they getting involved in? And so whosoever keeping the law is a wise son. And so naturally you pray that your children will grow up knowing Jesus, knowing the Lord, serving Christ. Make that your prayer. Live your life that way to where you say, you know, I want to set the example to where my kids want to serve God, to where my grandchildren want to live for Christ, to where my children's children want to serve God and my neighbors and my community want to serve God. The Bible says, whoso keep the law is a wise son. And so it's a wise choice. The wisest choice we could ever make is serving Christ. Greatest decision I ever made back in 1994, we said. Again, you think about it, the last couple of days in 94, and I believe it was 31st, the last day of the year, 30th or 31st in there, I gave my life over to the Lord, made a decision. The wisest choice I've ever made in my life was to dedicate my life to Christ. And so you say, he said, he that is companion, a righteous man, shame with his father. And so naturally, on the opposite of that, you're running the streets, running with the boys, running here, running there, getting into crime and mischief, on and on. Again, never, ever, ever seeming to get out of the same rut, break the addictions, to break all these different things. Again, never, ever, ever able to break out of that. And naturally, it's shaming the father. A father who cares. A mother who cares. If your mother don't care, if your father don't care, well, they're going to have to answer to God anyway. Again, but you think about this, but the one that does care, again, a wise son will not bring shame to his father because he is departed from righteous living. Number eight, he says, he that is by usury and unjust gain increases his substance. In other words, interest and taxing, heavily taxing the unjust, and unjust gain increases his substance. He shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Number nine, he says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. But let's back up. I thought it was a combination of scripture there. But the Bible says, he that really overcharges, God even sees that. Overprices, a lot of these prices and stuff, price gouging, and extra interest, 20, 30% on various things, overcharging for people, robbing the people. Robbing the people blind. The stores are raised up the prices on and on and on. Again, today is not right. And God sees it. God sees it. He writes it down. And one day people will have to answer, do good business. Do good business. Do people right. Do people right. Try to overcharge. See restaurants and various things that overcharge and they don't last long. They don't last long at all. You keep your prices low. Keep your price just right. Naturally, I know costs of things are going up. But you know what? Don't price gouge. In other words, don't even charge extra interest. Shame on you credit cards and all these folks out there charging all this extra interest for loans and mortgages. Oh, no, no. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Number 90 says, he that turneth his ear from hearing the law, he said, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So think about it. When you turn away from God and you're making prayers, the first prayer God wants to hear is the prayer of repentance. Prayer of salvation, prayer of getting right with God. He says even the prayers that we send up, if we're not prayed through an unrepentant sin, it's an abomination before the Lord. And so you think about that. Does God hear my prayers? He's waiting on you to come to him completely. He's waiting on you to come and surrender your heart. God will answer prayer. He does. He's a God that answers prayers. He uses his own discretion, but you think about it. Sometimes people praying to God, but God is not hearing them. Because God protect me while I go rob this bank. No. I can't answer that prayer. Why? Because again, these things is what he was referring to as an abomination unto the Lord. It's a kind of a, let's say, oxymoron. How's that? The Bible says, number 10, he says, whosoever causes the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he said, fall himself into his own pit. Talked about pits the other night. He says, but the upright shall have good things in possession. So you think about this. causing the upright to go astray, causing the upright to go astray, causing people, good people, causing church members, causing folks to walk away. People will work at it. People who don't know Christ will try to pull away the new believer. Get new people come all the time, man. They pray and they seem to come for a little while, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, somebody will put some stuff in their head about, oh, the Bible's not this or that and the other. And an unstable believer, a brand new believer, if they're not careful, if they don't get in the Word and really pray through, the enemy will do all he can to draw people away from God, to draw people away from Christ, knowing Jesus Christ. And so whosoever causes the right to go astray in an evil way, he falleth himself into his own pit. Those people will fall into their own pits as well. They will find themselves in a deep hole and not even know why. Sometimes you wonder, you don't get a chance to see the whole story play out. And no doubt the person who pulled them away, you wonder what happens. They might have pulled a bunch of people away from church one time, and still to this day, he's in a lot of deep trouble now as we speak, because he pulled a lot of people away. He's falling into his own pit, his own trap. When you start messing with the people, leave people. If you're going to leave, just leave. Don't get pull other people with you. Just go on and be by yourself. Do what you got to do. But you know what? Don't pull people away. Leave people alone. Amen. If you have disagreement, just go. Amen. Don't start putting things in other people's heads. And so he says today, because they were, you digging your own pit even more. You should look at that. Number 11, he says, the rich man is wise in his own conceit. Back to what we're talking about, how God says how the rich, nothing wrong with being rich, but he warns the rich. He's constantly warning the rich, because the rich feel like they don't need anything. The rich can get complacent and feel like we don't need anything from God. I have everything I need. Well, who's this God? So the Bible says a rich man is wise as long as he have everything I need. I have a home and I got cars. Like, I can go anywhere. I can spend and buy anything. I can eat the finest, this, that, and the other. I can do all these different things. I can travel the seven seas. I have everything I need. What I need God for? What I need to pray for? I have everything. My health. I got the best doctors. I got the best this, the best that, the best clothes. On and on and on. He says he's wiser than his own conceit. I know what I'm doing. I don't need a preacher to tell me. I don't need the Bible. So he said, but the poor that hath understanding searches him out. And so you think about this, how the rich man versus the poor. The Bible says the righteous men do rejoice, and there is great glory. But when a wicked rise, a man is hidden. The righteous do rejoice. When righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory. So you think about when the righteousness is flourishing, when again, God is being put first, there's joy. There's a joy in your soul. When there's a joy in the Lord that only God can give in the land, he says there's great glory. God is moving. God is blessing. God is doing awesome things. Again, you think about it in the land, is again, when God is promoted, when Jesus is promoted, when people are revival is taking place and people are falling in love with God. He said, but when the wicked rise, he says, a man is hidden. So people go into their corners. People go hide out because the wicked are in control. Sin is in control. People will hide out because crime is on a rampage and things in the streets. The streets are not safe. Why? Because the wicked seem to have risen. Amen. And so he says here in 13, he says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Another verse. Again, you look at those Proverbs. It's almost like little fortune cookies. Each verse sometimes is like a little fortune cookie of words of wisdom. And naturally, this is the true fortunes here. The Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Again, the enemy will love for us to stay in unrepentant sins. Unrepentant sins. And so you must confess it, pray it, say, God, forgive me. Let me make that right. Let me not do that again. So, you know, because if we don't, it'll compound. Then conviction comes. Then people fall away. Then you say, I don't want to go back to church. I'm not going back to God because I'm too sinful. Oh, no. Pray through it. Get it right with God. Amen. And come on back to the house of the Lord. The Bible says, he that covered the sin shall not prosper. God wants you to prosper. God has so many blessings in store for every believer. He said, but he that covered his sins will not prosper. we hinder ourselves because of sin. But whosoever confesses them, forsaketh them, shall have mercy. And so God is waiting with open ears. I'm waiting on that prayer. I'm waiting for that prayer for my son and my daughter and or that lost man or woman will call and say, have mercy on me, son of David. Jesus, have mercy on me. And then, no doubt, prosperity takes place. The man got up when God opened up his eyes. That man who called on the son of David, but it was Jesus Christ. He called on him and God touched him. God heard his prayer. And naturally, God healed him. He was blessed. Another man prayed. Naturally, was lame man. On and on and on. There are countless stories about how that when people pray, God causes them to prosper. God calls him to prosper. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Don't harden your heart. The message years ago, preacher. I've never preached it, but I heard it preached before, old pastor. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. You fall into mischief when you get hard towards God, get hard towards the pastor, get hard towards the people of God, the word of God. You get hard towards the things of God. You harden your heart towards people. And so he says, happy is a man that feareth always. But you know what? Let me walk in reverence to God. Let me walk in the fear of the Lord. Let me walk and fear what I do, fear what I say, fear the consequences of my actions, on and on and on. Don't harden your heart. He said, he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief and get in trouble, get in all type of things because they harden. I don't believe that. I'm not doing that. I'm not obeying that. No. And so they fall into mischief. Mischief and get in trouble along the way. As a roaring lion and a raging bear, so are the wicked rulers over the poor people. So again, there it is. The poor cower down. The poor go hide in shelters. The poor are oppressed. Because, again, the leader is a raging lion or a roaring bear. The Bible says a raging bear, excuse me. The prince, that the one that understanding is also a great oppressor. He that hateth covetous shall prolong his days. And so you think about it, a prince who seeks God, godly leaders, godly people, whether it's a father, mother, even all the way to the government, leading up people who are people of prayer, he wanteth understanding. And so you think about this, that's what God wants. And so I want to make sure I get it right here. The Bible says understanding, one of the understanding is also a great oppression. And so, yeah, I want to make sure I read that right. Let me read it again. The prince that wanted understanding is also a great oppressor, lacks understanding in this case. It could be confusing. Wanting means lacks understanding. He says it's a greater prayer because it don't make sense, right? But again, on the flip side of that, those that seek God's face, we pray for godly leaders. But if not, he will lack understanding, become a great oppressor. Understanding, lack of understanding of God, lacking understanding of the things of God, he becomes a great oppressor, a great dictator, a great, great evil terror to society. But he that hated covetousness, he that hates covenant say, you know, I don't care about my gain. I want my people to be taken care of. I want to see my nation prosper. And so naturally, he does what he's supposed to do to where it will prolong his days and prolongeth the nation. It blesses the nation as well. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. And let no man stay. I am. In other words, help him. So you think about it, a man that doeth violence, a pit. We talked about pits the other day and how that, again, there are various places. It could be an extraordinary thing. A pit could be an extraordinary thing. It could be a place of recollection. It could be a place of punishment. It could be a place of recollection. It could be a place of projection where you get projected on the great things. But you know what? So the pit naturally can be a horrible thing in this particular case and where there's no help. But God is our help. Thank God. Thank God we have a God who can help you out of a horrible pit, as we shared with you Thursday night, I believe it was. Last Thursday night, he brought me out of a horrible pit, extraordinary place. God is able to do that tonight. Number 18 says, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. And so, thankfully, you not only just pray for prayer salvation, but you live it, you walk it, you exercise it, your faith, you walk in it every day. You just don't want to go astray. You don't want to turn away. The Bible says he walketh uprightly. You must stay upright. Hey, man, don't crawl back down to the ground again. Don't start digging and sneaking around on the ground all over again, crawling around in sin and in the mud of this world. That's what he said. But if you stay upright, stay straight up. Stay up. Stay up in God. Stay prayed up. Hey, man, keep looking up. Bible says you should be saved. He says, but he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. So at once, the falling. Again, sin will cause one to fall. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. It's a fallen state. A fallen state. Adam went into a fallen state because he sinned against God. And so at once, it wasn't a progressive thing. It happened immediately. And so naturally, we must pray. We must pray, keep our hearts pure. Put on the armor of God, the Bible talks about. Put on the whole armor of God. The guard, the mind, the heart, the soul, and your feet, the things that you do, the mindset. We must continue to keep our minds on Christ. The Bible says here in 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. But he that followeth after vain person shall have poverty enough. So we continue to labor and work. It pays off. There's a blessing in that. And naturally, the opposite of that, we come up with empty things. Follow after those who are not doing much of anything. Those who it leads to poverty. Bible says, well, you don't work, you don't eat. Let's be fervent in spirit. Fervent and not slothful in business. God help us. God help us to be fervent in our business that we do. Number 20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. A faithful man, faithful at it every day. Say a business owner in yourself, faithfully working at that thing until he gets it right. Until he sees. Sometimes business don't happen overnight. There's some fly-by-night business, and a lot of the time them fly-by-night businesses fall apart over time. It may start off well, but then they fall apart. But if one that builds it steadily, one that builds it to where it's going to last, a man or a woman that goes on a career, starts a career, and they faithfully stay to it, faithfully go to work for 20, 25 years of their lives. Naturally, if you can get out sooner than that, praise the Lord. Sometimes 30 years, 40 years. Of their lives, faithfully. And there's a reward with that. There's a blessing that comes along with that because of faithfulness. And the same thing is in Christ, spiritually speaking. You stay faithful to God. Stay faithful to your church. Stay faithful in your giving. Sometimes you give. I give this month, but I didn't give last month. I gave this week, but I didn't give last week. I didn't tithe. I tithe two months ago, but I ain't tithe since. You can't be that way. You must be faithful in it. Faithfully giving. Cheerfully give. Say, you know what? This is budgeted out for the church, for God. This belongs to God. And you budget it out and you faithfully do that. And God, there are blessings that abound with that. But you playing hopscotch with God, miss skipping, you can't do that. Do that with your bill collectors, but not with God. I'm telling you, that's where your blessing comes. You know what I'm saying? And God will take care of the bills along the way. But anyway, he said, but he that make haste to be rich shall not be innocent. And so again, the hasty, the speed, the getting rich quick schemes, it many times falls apart. You very rarely find a get rich quick scheme that works. Very rarely. And before long, it'll come back to bite you anyway. But anyway, number 21, he says, to have respect to persons is not good for a piece of bread that a man will transgress. Respect the person. From the guttermost to the uttermost, we should love everybody the same. The man got on a suit, or if he got on a couple of rags, it don't matter. Love people. Jesus loved everybody. Jesus loved them red, yellow, black, and white. He didn't care the skin color. He didn't care where they were from. Jesus broke down the division of nationalities with the Samaritan woman, on and on and on. He showed us that the blood goes deeper than skin. The blood goes deeper than language. Naturally, the blood goes deeper. Respect the person, treating people. That's a universal language, to be kind to people. Treat people right. To love one another. Amen. That's a universal thing that, again, everybody should exercise today. Not respect the person. Oh, because they're famous. Oh, because they have money, I'm going to treat them different. No. It shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. And even when someone does something wrong, even when someone does something wrong, oh well, they got money, so I'm gonna treat them. The law is different for them. No, it shouldn't be different. If he kill a man, he kills a man, whether he's rich or poor. He got a lot of money to buy a lot of lawyers, buy the judge and all these. See, the judge gets bought off, the lawyers get bought off, the jury gets bought off. Hold on, hold on. We live in a corrupt society, folks. But the Bible says we should not have respect of person. Anyway, let's go to 22. He that hastens to be rich hath an evil eye, and consider not the poverty that shall come upon him. So there it is again. Again, you may have a gambling problem out there. You got a gambling problem. Again, that's one of the things. Hasten to be rich. Hasten to be rich, or sell out your life savings on things. Hasten to be rich. Back to what we're talking about, some of these get-rich-quick schemes. They will rob you blind. They will rob you blind. The lottery, throwing all your money on the lottery. Oh, no, no, no. They will, all it is another tax. That's the government's way of taxing. Oh, the lottery number is $2 billion. How do they get that $2 billion? And the person who wins, they're only going to get half. So where's that other billion going? Back to the government. And all the people who put into that. Don't complain about taxes if you play in the lottery. Anyway, let's go. The Bible says, he that rebuketh, number 23, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. And it's talking about just being straight up. It's talking about getting correction. Various things. Again, we should not flatter. That's not use flattery. You have to be wise. Use wisdom. You try to use wisdom to not hurt people. Again, there's a difference between not hurting people and flattering people, right? You don't want to hurt people, but you don't want to flatter them as well. You got to tell them the truth. But at the same time, I don't want to sugarcoat and misrepresent God at all. Amen. We talk about hell. We talk about sin. We talk about different types of sin. We talk about it. We deal with it. Why? Because we can't flatter you with sweet, smooth speech. And all these different things. We have to deal with a lot of things a lot of times. And then there's times, naturally, we deal with other things. Not because, again, there has to be wisdom in it all. But to flatter, use flattery and various things. We cannot do that. The Bible speaks against that. The Bible says, 24, whosoever robbeth his father and his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. Man, you talk about the law of the law. To use and abuse your parents. We know people to use and abuse their parents. Use and abuse their parents, steal their money, take their money, mislead them, misguide them, use them, and abuse the parents. We should not be that way. It should not be that way. And so the taking advantage of the elderly as well. Taking advantage of the elderly. Hear about schemes and plots. You get emails. Don't click on some of these folks out there. Don't click on your emails. Some of these junk emails. You've won this and you've got this. Or congratulations. You get phone calls. A lot of scams and phony things on the phone. People will call you and the elderly and really just anybody if you're gullible. They will take thousands, tens of thousands, some folks hundreds of thousands of dollars out of the elderly. Robbing them. Losing their properties because of some evil people out there. You take advantage of people. So he refers to taking advantage of your parents as well. It hits back home. Don't take advantage of your parents. And that's, again, you can just as guilty as the man who from the outside taking advantage of their parents as well. But anyway, but the Bible talk, where we at? 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So you think about pride. Pride stirred up. Satan was the epitome of pride. Pride is a killer. Pride thinks he's right in his own eyes. He or she's right in their own eyes. Pride, you can't do no wrong. Pride will argue all the way to their grave that they're right. And Satan was that. Satan was proud. He argued with God. He argued with Jesus. He argued with the angels. He took a third of the angels with him. The Bible says he was proud and was kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says, he that is proud in heart stirreth up strife as problems. When you try to always find trying to win an argument, that's pride in that. You know what? I'm done with the argument. I ain't gonna argue with you no more. I'm done. I ain't gonna talk about it no more. I'm about to move on with my life. You know what? Nah, we're gonna continue to talk about it. That's pride. failure to take the I keep saying the low road or the high road, whatever you want to say, failure to take that road of humility. I ain't gonna sit here and argue all day long, right? No, I'm gonna be right. I don't care. Blah 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 blah. Whatever. This is, you know what? Why? Because it stirred up strife, and the argument would escalate and escalate and escalate and escalate to where the couple can't get along, to where friends can't get along, to where neighborhoods can't get along, where again, the country can't get along because of pride. Because of pride. Pride will destroy and stir up strife. From individuals to marriages to families, communities, etc. He said, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. You put your trust in Jesus, live a life for Christ, live a life for the Lord, happy, amen, smiling, endeavoring to get along with folks. Hey man, I ain't got time for the drama at work and all these different things. Endeavor to get along with folks. Again, here today, you shall be made fat. Look at my stomach now. No, I'm just joking. But just think about it, being made fat. God is good. You're blessed. You're blessed because you're a man or woman that don't like to strife. Don't like to fight and carry on. Again, today, because there's no strife in your heart. And it stems back to pride. You know, I ain't going to sit here and, again, whatever. You just do what you're going to do, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like how my mindset is sometimes. You know what? I let you sit over and fight with yourself in the corner over there. Why? Because, again, it stirs up strife. Number 26, he says, he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. If you're trusting in your own ways. The Bible says trust in the Lord. Trust in the word of God. And rightly dividing. You need a pastor. You need a church. You need to follow and become a part of the body. So even in that, don't trust your own heart. I'm gonna read the Bible, be my own pastor. I'm gonna be my own interpretation of the Bible. I'm gonna interpret it my way. I'm gonna live it my way. You need to be in the congregation. The body of Christ is the church. And so naturally, get amongst a body of believers. But he that trusts in his own heart is a fool. So self-made man, and outside of the church part, outside of Christianity, just in general, self-made. I don't need nobody. I'm my own boss. I'm going to do it my way. And we make foolish and unwise decisions. We need somebody. Amen. Everybody needs somebody. But whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So we walk in the word of God, saying, you know, I need God's guidance. I need deliverance. I need God to help me. Deliver me from me. Deliver me from me. How's that? And so naturally, again, being delivered. The Bible says 27, we got to wrap this up. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Give it to the poor, blessing others, blessing others. Now, I don't go around giving to everybody. Because everybody will come up to you, walk up to the car. We don't have it every time. Or sometimes we do, but I can't give it every time either. I'm not going to give it every time. But you know what? You give to people. You give to the poor. Again, you give. You're a giver. God blesses a giver. When you give unto the Lord, you give unto the things of God, you give to the poor, you give to charities, various things. You have a charitable heart. He said, you will not lack. It'll come back around. And God blesses you because you give. Because you give. But if you hoard and you hang on to it, say, I'm keeping this for myself. Oh, no, no. Be a blessing to somebody else. Be a blessing. The Bible says, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many curse. And so don't turn your blind eye. There are people who are really legitimate. There are people who are out there getting scammed. The man talking with a man getting over $100 a day, $200 a day. Standing out there on an intersection. And you've seen videos. I've seen videos through the years of how some walk a couple of blocks away and get into a nice car and drive away. But they were out there acting as if they were poor. God sees that as well. You're not going to get away. But anyway, but you discern, you pray. God will show you. You can tell who's really, really in need, who's really, really hurting. Amen. Thank God for those who help the poor. Number 28 says as we close, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves. Men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. When the wicked arise, men hide themselves. And I failed to stick this in. I was watching a video the other day. about a country, really, really poor country, for instance, Haiti, and how that when because the wicked are in control, the wicked have ruled that nation, and that nation's in deep, deep poverty. It's in deep poverty. It's in deep, in a deep, deep, terrible infighting, terrible system, terrible government, terrible military, terrible police force, terrible way of living. And there are many other countries that way, but this happened to be Haiti that I was looking at, and how because the wicked have risen, the wicked have taken over, the wicked have been bought out. As we share with you these previous verses about taxing and taking bribes and on and on and on, the love of money, the covetous, they get bought out, and companies will give them under the table money to sell out their nations and their countries. This happens all the time. Happens all the time. So when wicked men rise, it causes the people to perish as well. He said, but when they perish, the righteous will increase. And so naturally, we pray for nations who are under cruel dictatorships, nations that are under cruel rule. Again, people that are underneath again evil men and evil things, how that when it goes away. You probably had to say my preacher, my boss was that way. Amen. When my boss left, oh man, the workplace got so much better. Well, yeah, that's the same principle. And you know what? And when you change bosses, meaning God, when you change and begin to look to God, who is our ultimate boss, no doubt you will find increase, you will be blessed, you will rejoice because you left Satan and you came to Almighty God. Amen. Continue to look to the Proverbs. It's Proverbs 28. We pray and hope you have a wonderful evening. Go with God, and we look forward to seeing you again this Thursday night in service, 334 Ashford Street. Come on out, be with us. And remember, a proverb a day keeps the devil at bay. God bless you. We'll see you soon.